Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's so good to be together. I'm really excited about what happened yesterday with the Men's Day. Brothers, give yourselves another round of applause for a great time together. It was really, really awesome. It was a great time to connect. It was just amazing to me. What I was really inspired by was just seeing the number of men that were together and really practicing transparency and just really trying to connect in a real powerful way. It was really, really encouraging. And so I thought, man, what a way for us to continue in this series of building friendships. The thing that I've learned from reading this book, Made for People, one of the things that's really, really important as we continue as men with what we did yesterday and even as a fellowship is to understand that relationships should be done in community. And that we need each other dearly in order to really continue to grow in our walk with God and essentially to make it to heaven. And the thing that I think that we have to do is the West, the culture that we're in, does not afford us to do that. It's not a natural thing for us to say, hey, you know what? We're going to go ahead and build these incredible relationships, and we're going to be open about these relationships, and we're going to be really, really transparent in these relationships. If you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, there's a guy that I'm so inspired by. You know, you look at all the characters in the Bible, you look at Jesus, of course, he is the OG, he's the man, he's the one we follow. But then you look at the Apostle Paul, and you look at Paul and how he established this incredible, transparent relationship. Every church he went to, essentially, in all of his letters, Paul is very open and transparent about not only what God's doing through him, but who he is. About who he is. And I think what we got to understand, we're all here because we need Jesus. And we're all here because we're sinners saved by grace. And one of the things that this book has taught me, one of the amazing quotes that's out there that really helped me is to understand, do you want to know the loneliest way to live? Living with sin and hiding it. You know, not being fully known is something that we have to continue to work on. And when you look at Timothy himself, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's given me strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Wow. Do we ever say we're the worst of sinners? But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen. You know, as we look at this series, the first point, vulnerability, the art of living without secrets and the habit of confession. You know, you look at Paul in this passage. Paul was in the habit of confessing who he was. And I think the reason he was so vulnerable is because he understood how much Jesus and God had done for him. He understood grace at its finest. He understood the amazing love God had. He understood that the only reason that he was here is because of the ignorance of his own life. Man, when you look at Paul's background and who he was, you know, Gamaliel was his trainer, and he was this amazing religious guy, and he was so warped in his thinking that God had to just strike him down in Acts chapter 9 in order to stop him from being so ridiculous in who he was and stop him in his tracks, sort of like he did with us, right? To get our attention to see how much he loves us. But once God gets our attention, we need to continue to be vulnerable in who we are. We need to continue that. We don't need to stop. Oh, I'm a disciple now. I got baptized in Christ. Jesus is Lord. This is awesome. This is fired up. Man, I'm here. Amen. I won the war for Christ. That's not it. Every day, we need to encourage each other and be actively open and vulnerable with what's going on in our lives. I believe that's the essence of true friendship. I believe just sharing who we are is really critical to not only building who we are spiritually, but building our community of faith. And I really believe in my heart of hearts that that is a simple, fundamental principle that's going to help all of us make it to heaven. I believe that's a fundamental principle that we have to adopt, and we have to continue to want to be known and be vulnerable, confess our sin, say who we are, get into the habit of doing it every day. Every day we need to be open. Hey, bro, I struggle with lust today. I struggle with impurity today. I was immoral in my mind. I struggle with anger. I struggle with greed. I struggle with deceit. Can you please help me? Don't get tired of being who you are. You are who you are. We are who we are. You know, the beauty of it, you know, being a part of the kingdom, I knew when I came, became a Christian, it was really awesome. Very early on when I came to this church, I said, oh man, I got it. This is where God wants me to be. This is the place. These amazing, sinful people from all nations. Every one of them from all these different cultures that have been saved by the blood of Jesus. I got it. Not because of the diversity, not because of the worship, not because of this, but because of Jesus and the ability to finally let go of the cup and the burden of sin that I've been carrying my whole life. And it didn't matter if the person was Italian or Hispanic or Caribbean or Hispanic, whatever they were, I was so grateful. Hey, can I just confess my sin to you? The worst of it. I need you in my life. I need you. I need you. If I don't, I'm destructive. I'm going to destroy myself. Sort of like the Apostle Paul. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a murderer. He was a man that had religious theories, but he was warped. He was just out there. And listen to what's interesting about this. This letter is written to a 19-year-old guy. He didn't care who it was. Hey, campus, I'm a sinful guy. I struggle with impurity and morality at times, thoughts, all kinds of things. Hey, you young, older folks, you pay setters. I struggle with lust and sin. And you follow me right here? It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a certain platform of who you talk to this about. Friendship, being open, knowing who we are, we all are experiencing God's grace. Recently, I've been studying the Bible with one of my sons. It's been good. We've been sitting down looking at scriptures. And it's been really kind of cool just to kind of get into it with him and just kind of open up. And it's really building our friendship, just kind of pulling my son in and that kind of thing. And I shared with him, I said, hey, we looked at the cross, we looked at some scriptures on Jesus and his death. And I, you know, we're sitting down, we're looking at these scriptures, and I shared, man, look, let me be honest with you. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. You know, when I started studying, hey dad, why did you start studying the Bible? What brought you to this point? That was the question. I got to answer the question, right? I'm like, I got to answer the question. I didn't want to answer the questions. I'm like, I got to be honest with him. That's the only shot he has. He put me on the spot. I was like, hey, you know what? Let's go to the next verse. Turn the Bible to, you know. I'm like, oh, no. I got to answer this question. It was tough to answer that question. And I said, you know what? Honestly, I was borderline suicidal. There was a young lady that I really liked, and I didn't really know how to treat her. And I always cheated on her, and I never was faithful to any women. And one situation was so bad that I was immoral with a pregnant woman. He said, Dad, that's crazy. I said, oh my gosh, I told my son, the dirt. And then after we finished, he prayed this prayer. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, God, that we're here today with my dad. And thank you that we're growing closer as a result of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In my heart, I'm like, yes! When are we getting together again? Tonight. Amen. We're getting together tonight. He didn't look at me as like this crazy dad. He just said, yeah, you're a little crazy, dad. It's kind of rough, but you know what? I love you. And I'm giving them the picture of what community, spiritual, friendship, openness is all about. What about you? What about your relationships? Are you in the habit of confession? Are you in the habit of openness? Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Another passage I love. This is the message we heard from him, verse 5. And declare to you, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Man, this is a great passage of scripture. This is one of my most inspiring passages of scripture. It's so freeing to me. It's freeing to me to know that if we're open about who we are, Jesus steps in the gap for us. You know, the thing about this book, I don't have time to flip through all this, but I've been reading and meditating and downloading it. And one of the things it talks about is that when we're not open, we're not experiencing the grace of God in a healthy way. We're not allowing ourselves to be loved. We're not allowing ourselves to be open with, you know, with not only one another, that's what this passage is talking about, but also understanding the deep love that Jesus has for us. The deep love Jesus has for us. Oh no, my culture doesn't allow me to be open. Oh no, that's not the way I am in my heart. Oh no, that's not me. Oh, to be open, you're weak. You know all this crazy stuff the world tells us. No, openness is healthy, invigorating, inspiring, relieving, encouraging. It's all of the things that the world tells us it's not. When you're open, man, you can strut. You know what I mean? You got that off your heart. You can love. You know what? When you're open, it only shows that you're human. You're just a human. That's all you are. We're just human beings that are saved by grace. We're going to make a lot of mistakes. We're going to do bad things. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time before the shoe drops in our lives where we do something stupid. It's just who we are. We're just that. And Jesus gives us the landscape and the platform through his word to be people that can experience his grace, his blood, his love, his compassion, his tremendous inspiration, and he can get us to heaven. What are you hiding? Are you struggling with pornography? Are you struggling with impurity? Are you struggling? That's the purpose of the Fight Club. It's not the Fight Club. It's not just for the women. It's for the women. It's for the brothers. It's everyone. We need Fight Clubs to really help us be our best in God's light. You don't need to walk around with that crippling sin or whatever it is you're afraid of and allow it to stop you from being everything God's called you to be. He wants you to call. He sees that. He knows you're struggling with the internet. Look, I got ADHD. I'm impulsive. I remember years ago, there was a brother. I was driving in my car, and this brother, some of you guys might know him from New York, this brother named Angel Martinez. Awesome brother, he passed away. Angel was 5'0". Hispanic guy. He had this voice, yo, bro. You know what I mean? And when you're in sin, it's like that annoying voice, right? Yo, bro. It's like saying, hey, man. Hey, bro. I was a young Christian. Hey, bro, let me tell you something. He's driving my car. Look, man, you're just going for a ride. Don't tell me what to do. I mean, that's my mindset, right? He said, hey, bro, let me tell you something, man. Why did you look over there at that girl, look at her behind like that? Dope. Good question. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that in church. Some of you are looking at things you're not supposed to look at. Often. because we're sinners. Thoughts becomes actions, right? Thoughts become actions. If you need help with something, why do you think we have CR groups? Why do you think we have purity groups? Why do you think we have all of these different things within the church? Because we as members struggle with these things in the church. Can I get an amen? So all I'm saying, I know that was raw and it seemed like it was just, oh man, it was just, but sometimes it has to be raw. Sometimes it has to be real. And sometimes we've got to be honest with one another about where we are. And then we've got to pray for one another. It was shared yesterday in James 5:16, because the power of prayer, the Bible calls us righteous when we pray for one another, because prayer is healing. Confessing of sin is healing. Open to James chapter 5, verse 16. Turn right there for me. But what are we talking about? We're talking about being transparent. We're talking about being open. We're talking about being people who are authentic and not saying, hey, how's it going? It's going good. No, it's not. How are you really doing? Just be open so you can pull people in and build those authentic and genuine friendships, those righteous friendships that God desires for our lives. You guys with me here? James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It's a great passage of scripture. One of my most favorite all-time kingdom relationships for over 30 years is my relationship with Mike Eldred. Mike Eldred, AKA Donk. That's what he calls himself, right? What's up, Donk? You probably heard him say that. I don't know where Donk comes from. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. But it's AKA Donk. Hey, what's up, Donk? How you doing, Donk? What's up, bro? Good to see you. And then we rub each other's forehead. We got this unusual, you know, brotherly love. He'll rub his forehead and just, I'll rub my forehead. And we say something special to each other, right? Amen. So it's really funny. It's a great relationship, man. We were working out in the summer, going to the gym together, just having a great time. It's over 30 years old. It goes back to Brooklyn. It's over 30 years old. We were in a D group together. We used to call it men's poker night. We get together every Friday night, and for 30 minutes, brothers would share their lives, be open, confess their sin, share. We had all kinds of nicknames. I mean, we called one brother Sniffles because every time he confessed, he cried. So it was kind of like... hey, what's up, Sniffles? You know what I mean? Sniffles. And you know what? He wasn't offended. He knew that was his name, you know? And so it was awesome. Another brother had a big forehead. So you know Tweety, the Tweety bird? We call him Tweety. You know what I mean? So here's the thing. Just a few months ago, he was here. And Mike said, yo, Tweety's here. I said, oh, man, Tweety's here. We gave Tweety. Yo, what's up, Tweety? He wasn't offended. It's awesome. Another brother likes to bowl. We call him Donald 300. Yo, what's up, Donald 300? That was his name. We don't call him 300. We just call him Donald 300. You know, it's just everybody had an endearing nickname. That was our friendships. Those were our relationships. It was pretty wild. But what's good about our relationship with Mike, what's kept it going and endearing, Mike will call me up. Bro, help me out. Pray for me. This is what I'm struggling with today. And then I'll call him, hey, Mike, this is what I'm struggling with today. We'll go to the gym. Okay, let's pray. Here we go. Let's go to the gym. All right, we got to go to the gym. We got to face the demons. Go face the demons. Here we go. Lord, down, up, down, looking one. You know what I mean? Me and David Shoney, we go to the gym before he got married, 2 or 3 days a week. Same deal. You know, okay, Dave, here we go, baby. Got to go to the gym. We can't avoid the gym. I'll be 500 pounds if I don't go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? So I got to go to the gym. But the beauty of it is, it's having someone to download into where we can talk and be open. The book talks a lot about why we drift into loneliness and how to fight for a life of friendship. Some young brothers prayed with me yesterday. It was so encouraging. Max prayed with me yesterday. Max Watson, a couple of the brothers, he put his hand, laid hands on me. I said, only the elders do that. He answered, I was just joking. But he prayed and laid hands. Man, you know how inspiring it was for those young guys to put their hands on me and pray for me? Randomly. Man, that was so inspiring to have that kind of connection. And so, brothers and sisters, I think for us, the only thing I would say in the habit of confession, make yourself known. Make yourself known. Defy the odds. Make yourself known. Practice openness. Get with someone and share about how critical it is for you to be open. It's interesting in this book, I want to turn to this. At the end, it kind of gives a table example of what sharing is and vulnerability is. It says, sharing, I'm struggling in my marriage. Vulnerability, I was shouting, woke up the kids last night, and someone threw something. You see the difference? We can share something, but being vulnerable about the outcome is really critical. I'm really stressed out at work, but the vulnerability piece is I'm taking pills to fall asleep because otherwise I can't settle down. You see the difference? I'm struggling with passion in my walk with God. And then the vulnerability is, ever since I read that book, I'm starting to think that the whole faith is maybe a fiction. My wife and I are going through a rough patch. Check this out, vulnerability. I'm flirting with a colleague on a text chain. You see the difference? Authentic sharing is critical to our faith and experiencing the love that God has for us. So I really think that there's a difference for us. And the second point is honesty. You know, the Bible talks a great deal about what honesty is. And honesty is the art of saying what you mean and the habits of rebuke and encouragement. That's what honesty is. So if you turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to share this passage with you. This is sort of the playbook for how we should be and who we are. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking. We know the scripture, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it talks a great deal about the servant of God. How is the servant of God? What's the playbook for the servant of God? How is the servant of God thoroughly equipped for every good work? And you know, oftentimes that word rebuke seems like it's a word that shouldn't be used often, but it's in the Bible for a reason. It's there to encourage us when we're about to fall off the cliff. It's there to set us straight, to train us and help us in our righteousness, in our relationships, and really our relationship with God. It's there to really inspire us to get back on track. We need that as brothers and sisters in the Lord. You guys with me here? And I think you can't be afraid to speak the truth in love when you see something in someone's heart. When you see something in someone's life, speak the truth in love. I remember one time, this was years ago, and it's changed my life. And you know, Jeff is sort of like my little brother, but big, but then my hero in terms of all of his incredible wisdom and acumen and whatever. I don't even know how to use words that he uses. But anyway, so it's one of those deals. And I remember one time I was having, we've had those split services, and I preached the message, and it was like 15 minutes. I was really struggling. I don't know. I wasn't letting the Spirit lead me. I was just kind of out of it. You know, I was like, lost my fight game. You know what I'm saying? I just lost my bop. You know, it was just one of those things where, you know, I just didn't have it. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like, I went in the back. Jeff looked at me. How you feel about that? He said, just preach it, man. Preach. Just preach it. Preach. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Amen. All right. Got you, bro. It was like, yo, man, that hurt my feelings. I don't want to go preach again. No, I was like, okay. Preach, bro. You know what to do. Bible's with you. God's with you. Preach. Next message was a great message. It was totally different. But I needed that rebuke to get me straight. Some of us, when we get rebuked, we get our feelings hurt. So we start to feel sorry for ourselves, whereas someone's in your life to be your friend, to genuinely show you love, and to genuinely encourage you. But because of you taking things personally and not being focused on Jesus, it has the wrong impact. And so, yes, we need to put encouragement in each other. I'm not saying we don't. We must do that. You know, that's healthy and that's spiritual, that's encouraging. But when someone comes to you and they're rebuking you for a reason, for God's purposes, we've got to take it as it's going to help us be our best for the Lord. You guys with me here? Yeah. And so I wanted to use that little example because I think that's meaningful in terms of us being not only known and vulnerable, and vulnerability is a dangerous thing. It can hurt us. You know, it takes courage to be vulnerable. There are risks to be vulnerable. Just like with my son, there was a huge risk to be vulnerable. you know, to him. But I was willing to risk it all in order to get close to him so he can get close to God. Are you with me, guys? And I think sometimes, especially in the South, you know, we'll rather say bless your heart and look, watch somebody stumble. You know what I mean? Bless your heart. I'm like, bless your heart? You're not blessing them. You're just selfish and not helping them. Bless your heart. And we'll watch somebody just keep stumbling in the darkness, even in the church. Even right here in the church. The church, the church, the church, whatever you want to call it. You know, we model what the world does. We've got to take care and be our brothers and sisters' keepers and speak truth into people's lives all the time. That's what develops genuine friendships. Don't just look at somebody and be passive and say, oh my gosh, you know, passiveness, for me, it just drives me crazy. I mean, it really does. When somebody, okay, let's just let them keep. No, take the risk, be vulnerable. Hey, this is what I see in your life, and this is what you need to change. You know, and that's really important for someone's being, for their soul, for how well they do spiritually, for your relationships, how you connect. Be honest with one another. You guys with me here? I think we need to create that model. I think it's great to be nice. I think it's great to be kind and gentle, but please speak truth into each other. Speak the truth in love into each other all the time. When something hurts your feelings, oh, I'm not going to deal with that brother. You give people the hand. I'm not going to deal with that sister. I'd rather just walk away. No, go to them and say, look, this is how it made me feel. Okay, and what you said was harsh and was not nice. It was not kind. It was not gentle. Brother and sister, you must change this. This is something I see in your character. This is something I remember Lynn Ottenwaller, God bless her. She's awesome. She's a voice of reason for the brothers, for everybody, right? She's amazing. But Lynn would say a lot of times, you're preaching with a chip on your shoulder. I'm just telling you, that's how it's coming across. She would say that stuff to me, like, oh, okay, all right, let me back up here. Let me listen. Instead of saying, no, sis, that's not right. No, I'm not being defensive. Let me listen to what she has to say because this relationship is important to me. Let me listen. Let me listen to what my wife has to say. A lot of times the brothers, we go rogue and we don't listen to our wives, and our wives are trying to encourage us. Stop. Don't do it. Don't you push that button. Don't you post that. Don't you say that. And then we just go on, we do it anyway. Well, why did you do that? Well, my wife told me not to do it, and I went ahead and did it. You know what I mean? We have those moments, and it goes the other way too. What I'm saying is there's a balance between a rebuke and encouragement. You can't just have all encouragement. You're wonderful. You're nice. There's good news. This is awesome. This is great. Hey, it's great to be a Christian. And not have the balance of setting someone's course straight. It's got to be each of them. It's got to be a balance between encouragement and rebuke. And the thing we got to do in all of this, we got to persevere. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. We want to persevere as we're being honest, because sometimes it takes perseverance. It's a fight. This is a spiritual battle. Brothers and sisters, this is a struggle for us. This is not easy. It's a challenge. The Bible says this, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we may, what, spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. As brothers and sisters, you know, in this family that we have, this amazing family that I'm so grateful for, it does take perseverance. It does take a level of, you know, when you're building relationships and building genuine relationship, it does take a lot of connection. It takes perseverance. It takes us striving. It takes us holding each other accountable. It takes all those things. But at the end of the day, our goal is for all of us to get to heaven. You guys with me here? The thing that I love for us, for Diane and I, because of my background, I have a deep conviction about working with singles ministry and young marriage ministry. And the reason I love the singles ministry is because I was one of those guys in the world that would exploit people. You know, I was just that guy, and it's unfortunate. And also with the young marrieds, because I saw such devastation in my own personal walk with my family, I really feel like that's the foundation of the beginning of a great marriage, is those early years. So we love the opportunity to work with the singles and work with the young marrieds. Of course, I love them for Jesus, right? Obviously, but I have additional motivation because of who I was in the world and because what impacted me in my life. And the thing is, for Diana and I, we met in the singles ministry. My beautiful wife, many, many years ago. We'll be 30 years married, and next year we'll be 30 years, honey. You've dealt with me for 30 years, right? That's amazing. And she was, boy, when she came, it wasn't the most godly response. It was a very worldly response when I saw her. But at the end of the day, we met in the singles ministry, and we have a deep conviction about the singles ministry. We have an amazing retreat coming up. You know what I mean? Do you guys know about this? Unified in Spirit. I want to show you a couple of things that we've been doing. And we've got this amazing retreat, Limitless, coming up. It's going to be awesome. It's coming up here, October 25th to the 27th. There's an amazing agenda there. We also have the registration code for you guys. We have a table out there for you guys to go ahead and register today if you want to go ahead and be involved. It's amazing. But the point is, we're involved with singles because we want to see them have healthy relationships. We want to see them have relationships that are not relationships that are modeled by the world, but that they're kingdom-minded relationships. That women are respected, adored, encouraged, inspired, lifted up. Men are respected, adored, inspired, and lifted up. And not only are we building that here locally, but we're building that all over God's kingdom. And so I want to encourage us, singles, this is for you to increase your relationships and persevere. I know there is some long-term history where the singles ministry has not always been encouraging. We can say that. But I believe we have one of the most inspiring singles ministries in the kingdom of God. We have amazing single brothers and sisters here that love God, that love Jesus, that have persevered, that want family, that want to do life together. I want to encourage you guys, sign up for that. But more importantly, brothers and sisters, I want to inspire us to be open and be transparent. Practice the habits of vulnerability. Practice the habits of being open and confessing to one another and praying with one another. Practice the habits of being honest with rebuke and encouragement as a balance. And I really believe as we do that as a family, as a fellowship, God can do amazing things with us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and pray for communion. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Jesus. We're so grateful, God, for all that you've done. God, I just pray that, you know, we can be open and vulnerable in our lives. I pray, Father, that we can just be, just not hide anything, to experience your grace and love. We do experience that through communion, through the cross, through the broken body of Jesus. We thank you so much for the broken body. We thank you so much for the blood that was cleansed, that was shed for us to cleanse us of our sin. We appreciate all that you do. Help us to be brothers and sisters who speak the truth in love and really persevere in this fight together and build those amazing fight clubs. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.